All the latest business news from WA, delivered daily. At close of business, news briefing.
Good afternoon and welcome to the At Close of Business podcast. This is Simone Grogan with your Monday afternoon headlines. A Supreme Court justice has struck down a move for parties to inspect the ballot papers relating to WA Trotting Association's multi-million dollar Gloucester Park land sale to Hesperia. Members of the Western Australian Trotting Association, trading as Gloucester Park Harness Racing, voted in favour of Hesperia's proposal to develop Gloucester Park into a new town square, hospitality and entertainment district at a referendum in October last year. Former association member Juro Margaretic is suing the WA Trotting Association in the Supreme Court, alleging that the referendum process was in breach of its own rules and gave rise to members possibly voting twice. Appearing at a Supreme Court directions hearing today, counsel for both parties have discussed the related documents Mr. Margaretic proposed to be produced and inspected from filed affidavits. Among the documents Supreme Court Justice Kenneth Martin decided to be inspected included an agreement with Hesperia, a letter about a $24.7 million principal funding arrangement, and a heads of agreement. However, Justice Martin ruled that a land valuation by JLL and an independent review by KPMG, both reportedly commissioned by the WA Trotting Association, and ballot papers from the referendum should not be produced and inspected. Justice Martin said these documents did not meet the legal threshold to enable inspection because they were only inferred and not directly referenced in the related affidavits. The proposed Gloucester Park redevelopment comprises a 4,000 spectator capacity theatre space, racetrack renovation, hospitality precinct and high-rise apartment buildings. In October, the WA Trotting Association announced 84% of the members who voted supported the land sale to Hesperia to make way for the redevelopment. The sale was for a 5.9-hectare lot of land out of the 14.7-hectare Gloucester Park site in East Perth. It was also previously reported Racing and Wagering WA would chip in $24.7 million in funding towards the upgrade. Mr. Margaretic had been described by his lawyer Brian Lowry in court today as a passionate former WA Trotting Association member concerned about the circumstances behind the land sale voting. According to Justice Martin, Mr. Margaretic alleged there was a potential double counting of votes through an abusive process. Other allegations include omitted information in the material sent for postal voting compared to the online process and an inadequate address of the arguments to vote in favour or against. Mr. Lawry told the court that Mr. Margaretic also claimed there had been a lack of identification process for online voters, with members not properly identifying themselves. Lawyer for the WA Trotting Association, Alan Hershovitz, said the course of action about the alleged irregularity of double voting was weak. The matter has been set for mediation in mid-March. And in other news, one-time market darling AVZ Minerals has been hit with a major regulatory setback just weeks after the launch of a shareholder class action against the aspiring lithium miner. The company told the ASX this morning that the Democratic Republic of Congo's Minister of Mines had issued two decrees a week ago. They cancelled two earlier ministerial decrees granting a mining licence to AVZ subsidiary Dathcom Mining over the proposed Manono lithium project. Chairman Nigel Ferguson said the company apologises for the continued frustration being felt by shareholders and our cornerstone investor. He added that AVZ's board and executive team were working tirelessly to achieve a just outcome. AVZ was valued at $2.7 billion when its shares went into a trading halt in May 2022 after disputes arose over ownership of the Manono project. Over the previous year, its shares had soared from 14 cents to a high of $1.37, giving AVZ a peak market capitalization in excess of $4 billion. Its shares remained suspended from trading. AVZ is in disputes with Chinese mining group Zijin Mining and a company named Dathomir Mining Resources SARL over ownership of both Dathcom and the Manono project. The latest ministerial decree referred to the ongoing disagreements, conflicts and disputes between shareholders in the Manono project and said harmonious cooperation was a precondition to achieving progress. Today's update comes after ASX company Omni Bridgeway announced in December that it would fund a shareholder class action against AVZ for allegedly breaching its continuous disclosure obligations and misleading investors. The proposed class action is to be run by law firm Johnson Winter Slattery. It is open to investors who bought AVZ shares between May 17, 2021 and May 6, 2022. The basis of the claim is that AVZ held information on the ownership disputes prior to a crucial market update in May 2022. AVZ issued a brief statement in late December, reiterating its belief that it had complied with its continuous disclosure obligations. And in property news, IP Generation has acquired AMP Capital's half stake in Rockingham Centre for $180 million, with Vicinity Centres retaining the other 50% as co-owner. The Western Australian deal follows Victoria-based IP Generation's $185 million acquisition of Westfield Helensvale in Queensland in late 2021. The off-market sale of Rockingham Centre was negotiated by CBRE on behalf of AMP Capital Shopping Centre Fund. And that's all from me this afternoon. Coming up next on the podcast, senior journalist Matt McKenzie interviews Liv de Klerk about her piece on Perth Design Week.
The business world is teeming with opportunities to succeed, and every day is a chance for the ambitious to learn, know, and grow. Over recent years, we have built the greatest business journalist team in WA, delivering you the most trusted, comprehensive, intelligent, and up-to-date news across every sector, every platform, every day. No fluff, all informative stuff. At Business News, we believe progress boils down to one simple habit. That is, what you subscribe to today shapes what you will become tomorrow. Subscribe to success. Subscribe to Business News. Visit businessnews.com.au/subscribe for more information.
You're listening to At Close of Business. I'm Matt McKenzie. Today I'm going to be chatting to Liv de Klerk about the community and arts section in the latest edition of our magazine, January 30th. Liv, you've spoken to Sandy Angie and David Smith about something they're working on. First, could you just update our listeners, for those who may not know, Sandy and David, who they are and what their roles are?
Yes, of course. Sandy Angie is an architect and a lawyer, and she is also the president of the Australian Institute of Architects in the WA branch.
And a councillor in the City of Perth too, I believe.
Yes, she's also a board member of a number of different boards.
Okay. Yeah,
she's got quite the resume. And David Smith is a designer. He works for himself for his own business. He is also the chair for the Design Institute of Australia, also the WA branch.
Yeah, okay. So what are Sandy and David up to? I'm guessing it's something to do with design.
Yes, it is. You guessed right. They are going to be hosting a Perth Design Week from March 23rd to the 29th to showcase all the amazing design Perth and WA has to offer.
Yeah, so why are they hosting a design week? What inspired this?
They both are heavily involved in the industry, of course, and so they wanted to put on a sort of show with exhibitions and tours and talks and workshops to display design that people wouldn't ordinarily realise are aspects of design in everyday life.
Now, this part is what is conventionally called the good oils, actually, because, yeah, you're right, people think of design as being about buildings, which admittedly is kind of how I think about it, but it can be applied so much more broadly than that, Liv.
Yes, definitely. It does include architecture and interior, but there's also landscape design, graphic design, product design, and much more. In fact, one of the exhibitions in the program is showcasing a range of product designed in Australia and made in Australia, including the Esky and the Cambrook Power Board, which will be brought and exhibited during this week.
Okay, so the Esky was developed in Australia and the Power Board too.
Yes.
Okay, that's. I guess it goes to show something of our design ingenuity. Liv, could you tell us a couple of examples of what we might expect to see in Design Week?
The Western Australian Museum will be hosting an educational children's program for the kids to get an insight into what design is from a younger age. It's called the Design the Future program to engage the younger members of the community. It will invite students from year 5 to year 8 to learn about things like sustainability and design and technology and do this through hands-on activities.
Fun.
Another great example of an event that will be happening is the Perth Unbuilt exhibition, which will actually run for an extended period of time around the Perth Design Week. It will be from February 20th to March 30th. This particular exhibition will showcase architectural and interior designs that were never fully realised and only reached the planning and on-paper design. It never actually got created in real life.
Ah, okay. I feel like actually that's sometimes how designers get you, because sometimes you see these big news stories about someone's designed this thing like that, and there's like a lot of people say one thing, a lot of people love it, a lot of people hate it, and kind of it's just a lot of the time it's just done just to spark you to think and spark some creativity rather than actually like this, we're seriously going to borrow $1 billion to build this thing or that thing, which is part of, I guess, what the beauty of the art is. A couple of other thoughts though. One, it's going to be great because I love Fringe. It's going to be fantastic to have another kind of festival or event, series of events happening in Perth after Fringe. So we've still got our city lit up. And the other point, if it is Design Week, golly, maybe somebody could find a way to improve the designs of those old brutalist buildings we have around town, like the State Library and the Concert Hall. But that might be controversial, Liv.
It might be a little bit, Matt, but I guess it depends. Depends on what kind of designs would come up to replace those particular buildings you just mentioned.
It's personal taste, I guess. Liv, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The latest business news, delivered daily. Subscribe and rate the show wherever you listen to your podcasts. For all the latest business news, visit businessnews.com.au.